Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Dan and Dante, and welcome to Rareberg Radio, where we are all dads all the time. Today, we are talking to Al Watts, the president of the National At Home Dads Network. Good morning, Al.
Good morning. How are you, Dan?
I'm doing really good. It's about I'm 2 hours earlier than Al, about 60 degrees warmer over here in California.
Hey.
So,
yeah, thanks. I really appreciate that.
Well, look, you're allegedly going to make me some money.
Getting off to a great start.
Yeah, as I always do. So, look, you're supposed to make me a bunch of money, so I know everything about you, but why don't you tell our audience a little bit about who you are and what you're doing with the network and why they should care?
Well, I'm the president of the National At-Home Dad Network. It's a 501c3 nonprofit that supports stay-at-home dads, and I also am authoring a book called Dads Behaving Dadly, Real Stories of the New Fatherhood Culture, in which yours truly is going to have a story in there. And the book is co-authored myself and Hogan, and we are collecting a group of stories of dads and their moments as fathers.
Sounds good. So, look, we're going to talk about the At-Home Dad Network. Let's start with something that's near and dear to my heart, which is the book you just referenced, because mm-hmm. I'm in it, one. And two, mm-hmm. if people buy it, I make money. So let's focus on that for a second. So you and Hogan Hilling, who you mentioned, mm-hmm. are the editors of the book, correct?
Correct, yes.
Yeah, and talk about how you managed to gather all the stories, because I think there's going to be about 80 to 100 stories in the book. How did you guys get that many stories from all over the country, or all over the world, actually, from different people?
It involves a lot of begging and bribing. So it has a lot to do with it.
Sounds like my marriage.
Yeah, we're connected with dads for many years. I mean, Hogan has been a stay-at-home dad for 21 years and has run lots of different seminars throughout California. Knows a lot of dads and a lot of people in the dad community. I've been the president of the National At-Home Dad Network for 3 years. Our organization runs a convention every year. This year will be our 19th convention, so... And Hogan has also participated in most of those conventions, and I've attended about 7 of them. So in those meetings with those dads, we have a lot of connections there. So you know, a lot of the dads around, a lot of the dad writers around the country and around the world we have connections with. And so we've been bribing and begging them to submit their stories, and we managed to somehow convince you to do it.
Well, getting me to talk more or write more is never really a big problem. So let's talk about the substance of the stories, because if we're talking about dads, like in my world, in all of our worlds, I guess, you know, when you're talking dads, you're talking, you know, fat, bald, hairy. What kind of things are dads writing about, and what kind of stories can we expect in the book?
Well, there's lots of those. There's also lots of stories about, loss. There's a story in there about a dad who lost his, had a miscarriage, and, his feelings about that. There's stories about, just your basic day-to-day stuff, one of my favorite ones is called Rocking the Morning, where dad just, stay-at-home dad describes his morning and how he rocks it, with the kids. And so, there's stories like that. There's stories about, everything from, the fears and the excitement of becoming a father, to, dads who already have kids that are grown and how they're still parents even when the kids are, after 18, which I know is going to be a problem for you, Dan. Unfortunately, after they're 18, you still have to parent them. So
it's a lifelong journey.
What?
After 18? Are you kidding?
Yeah. It's a shocker. You have to read the book to learn that. I know you're not there yet, but once you get the kids out, you think they're out of the house, they still want you for crap, apparently. So there's some stories to help you with that if your kids ever make it that far.
Let's hope. We'll light candles in anticipation of that. Did you pick the stories based on certain themes that you were trying to promote, or was it more just a kind of a grab bag, whatever kind of came in and was funny, throw it in?
No, I mean, we're really picking the stories based on the fatherhood moment. I mean, we're trying to show how fathers are parenting like men and how they parent differently than women. And so stories that talk about how dads parent differently is really important to our book project, because dads do parent differently, and a lot of people really don't believe that, which is kind of shocking to me. But, you know, it's a totally different kind of parenting style that men have. And that was really important in the book. The other part of it was also if they express their emotions, how they feel about the moment. Because another myth about fathers is that they don't have the same kind of emotion attached to parenting like mothers do. And when you read our book and you read the stories, I mean, these guys are pouring their hearts out and expressing very raw emotions about how they feel, even everything from, you know, the birth of their child to, you know, teaching their child how to ride a bike. I mean, how they felt in that moment is really powerful stuff.
So what you're telling me is that guys have emotions.
Yeah, exactly. I know it's a shock, but they really do, and they really willing to tell people.
Yeah, I always try and learn one new thing on each podcast, so that's going to be, you know, my thought for the day. But you said something which I want to seize on, and you said how you talked about how dads, you know, parent like men. And one of the things I promised myself on this podcast, I wasn't going to call you Mr. Mom. And
Good. Why
don't you tell people why Mr. Mom is such an, you know, a terrible phrase in the stay-at-home dad community?
Well, I appreciate you bringing that up. The simple answer is, would you call your wife who works a Mrs. Dad because she is a woman doing a job that men do? No, you would not. And that is the what a Mr. Mom is. It's trying to describe for somebody what a man who is parenting. There already is a great word out there. It's been there for centuries. It's called dad. So all you need to do is call us dad.
See, if my wife was working, I'd call her Sugar Mama, but that's a whole different story we can say for the next interview. Well, how do dads parent differently? I mean, I guess there's the kind of obvious examples, you know, that I guess a dad's going to play a lot more sports and he's going to cuss a lot more. But how from an emotional perspective, from a behavioral perspective, how are dads different than moms?
You know, I think the biggest difference in general, and obviously this is a big generalization and dads all parent differently, but in a general sense, I think dads are a little more interested in risk-taking with their children. So I think that they, like, for example, when my kid wipes out on her, you know, scooter, you know, I don't run over there and, you know, get all worried about it, you know. Usually I just go, hey, get up, you're fine, you know.
You also have to rub some dirt on it. Don't forget about that. That's important.
Yeah, that's actually a section of our book, Rub Some Dirt on It.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. And that's kind of the way, that's one of the things. It's not that I'm not being, and some people may, and my neighbors may think, wow, that guy's kind of a jerk, you know, but it's really more of what I'm really trying to instill in my children is, you know, every little time you fall down doesn't mean it has to be a tragedy. You know, you can get up, dust yourself off, and keep on going. And that's kind of what I think a lot of dads kind of do. You know, a lot of dads generally will push their kids higher on the swing. They'll let their kids be a little more adventurous, a little more risk-taking than moms tend to be. And, you know, I think that's one of the bigger things, that dads are different than moms.
Now, do you think that kind of behavior is evolving over time? Are moms getting more like dads? Are dads getting more like moms? Because what you have over these past few years, as you know more than anybody, is you have a lot more dads out there really doing some serious parenting. And I wonder if society is starting to recognize that maybe women can be a little riskier, maybe men can be a little more emotional. Do you find that those behaviors are changing over time?
What I find is that men are more willing to share their emotions and to be more involved and nurture their children than they ever have felt they were allowed to do in the past. You know, I think that, I can't speak for you, but I know my dad, you know, he felt that his role was to provide financially for our family, and so he worked really, really hard to bring in as much money as he could so that we could have a good and healthy life. You know, what dads in today's generation and the next generation are seeing is that that's not the only thing that a child needs, and so they are providing a lot more emotional support, partly because they see that their children respond better to that, but also because they want to be. I mean, it's amazing to be around dads who are so emotionally connected with their children, and I think it's more of a societal acceptance of a different view of masculinity than it is men changing. I think men have always wanted to be this connected to their children. My dad loved playing with us, but I think he felt like that was not where his place was in society, but that's changing. That's not the way men are seeing themselves today.
Right. And you know, I'm not going to accuse you of being an anthropologist or anything, but do you think that guys just genetically act in a more roughhouse manner? I mean, do they have that emotion inside of them that they can bring forth immediately, or is it a learned behavior?
No, I think it's there. I think what's holding them back is the expectations of others. And so if you watch a dad with his kids and he doesn't see you, it's amazing how much more emotional he is with them and nurturing he is with them. And I'll tell you another thing. Personally, and I think a lot of men feel this way, is that my way of connecting with my children in a physical way is roughhousing. I mean, I wrestle my kids because it's an opportunity for me to be touching them and feeling them and hugging on them, you know, even though
it looks like the police might be listening, so you might want to fix me on the roughhouse ray. Go ahead, sorry.
But you know, that is what some people see. That my wife is always like, "You're going to hurt them." I'm like, "I'm not going to hurt them. I can get a little hurt. It's not that big a deal." But it's a way that I can physically have an opportunity to, you know, be close to them. So
very cool. And I think I see that myself. And I'm not a stay-at-home dad. I'm a working dad. But you know, I deal with a lot of parents. You know, it's my capacity as little league coach or being involved with the school. And you do see that a lot more. You see dads out there not only being dads and playing baseball, but you know, kissing their kids on the cheek and helping them and listening to their problems and helping them with crying, which my dad was like yours. I mean, my dad made money and told me to get him a Coke. You know, that was his parenting style, and that's what I got. But so let's talk about some of the individual dads in the book, though, aside from me, because we already know I'm hysterical and great. Give me some of the other people in the book and what kind of points of view you might be looking for.
Yeah, you know, well, we have, you know, we have a lot of stories about the beginning of fatherhood, like where you like the birth of the child and that kind of thing. And it's not just your typical, you know, I went in there, the child popped out, yay, I'm a dad. They're all really unique stories about their circumstances. My favorite one in that part of our book is a dad who his son is coming off reach, I believe, and they're about ready to send. Oh no, I'm sorry. His son has the umbilical cord wrapped around his neck. And they're about to take his wife into emergency C-section when the nurse happens to notice on the monitor that the baby is moving wherever the father is speaking at. And so they have the father walk from one side to the other of the bed and get the baby to move his head back and forth and untangle itself from the umbilical cord, and then the baby comes out without any surgery or complications. I mean, that was a really powerful story to have.
That's fascinating. That's amazing.
Yeah. And it's just, I mean, that's the kind of stories that we have, you know. We have stories of, we have a gay couple who's in our book who talks about how, you know, they're not two moms, they're two dads. You know, there's not, one of them is the mom and one of them is the dad, they're both dads, you know. And, you know, we have a story about a dad who talks about his son coming out to him as a gay man. We have a lot of stay-at-home dads that are in the book because they kind of break the mold as far as the view of what a dad is. And so, like I was telling you earlier, Shannon Carpenter's story about Rock in the Mornings and how he gets his kids up going in the morning is absolutely hysterical. I mean, it's not quite, you know, the level of where you're at in your story, but I mean, it's getting there.
Who is, Al? Come on.
Exactly. So, I mean, my favorite line in his book is it says something to the effect of, you know, his two older kids, he's got a little baby like a 10-month-old, and the two older ones go to school. And, you know, he yells at the kids, if they don't get down right away, he's going to grab a baboon and a bucket of ice water and throw it in the room with them and see who comes out. Whoever comes out gets bacon, you know. So that's kind of the thing that his kind of story goes into.
That's a good, I'm going to try that. You know what I love about books? Yeah, I'm sure it does. You know, I love about books like this and just this whole world of, you know, blogging and parents coming out and telling stories about their kids is that when you're reading a story from somebody else, I mean, nearly 100% of the time, you hear that story in your own way because you experienced it with your own kids. Like you were just talking about the guy whose kid came out with the umbilical cord wrapped around the neck. I had the exact same experience. My daughter came out with the umbilical cord wrapped around her neck, and me, being, you know, the hyper super genius that I am, I'm filming it, right? Because, you know, I'm filming because I'm a dude and I've got a video camera. I had no idea she had the camera around her neck. And the nurse comes up and taps me on the shoulder. I'm completely oblivious. And she goes, "Sir, you're going to have to stop filming." And I'm like, "Well, why?" I'm like Ansel Adams here. Why should I stop filming? And she goes, "Well, We're trying to revive your baby.
Oh, my God.
You know? Yeah, I mean, you know, the cluelessness is just crazy. So,
yeah.
But again, and I think that's what the book is really going to have. It's going to have 80 stories, not about 80 other dads, but 80 stories that the reader remembers from parenting their own kids. And that's why it's so special when you really understand and connect with these authors.
Well, I think it'll inspire other dads, too, to feel and you know, hug their kids. You know, I mean, I hope that a dad reads a story in that book and finds his kid and gives him a hug. That's what I hope happens with this book.
Yeah, that's awesome. And tell me, there's a couple famous people, I think, in the book, aren't there?
What's that?
There's a couple famous people who wrote stories for the book, aren't there?
Yeah, actually, yeah, we do. We have Trey Chaney, who played Poot on The Wire, the HBO show The Wire. And he's also a rapper, and he's the guy that has a story I was telling you about with the miscarriage. It's a powerful story. And we have a former Major League Baseball player, Ben Petrick, is in the book. And he ended up being diagnosed with Parkinson's early Parkinson's at like 27, I think. And just the fact that he tells a story about how awesome it was that he was able to help his daughter, like with a nighttime, you know, nightmare or something like that, which was a big deal for a guy who's got Parkinson's, can barely get up out of bed, you know, and to realize that, you know, he can be a father. Also, Wing Lam, who is the CEO of Wahoo's Fish Taco, he's got a great story in there, too.
I love it.
And there's you. I mean, there's you. I forgot, you know, you got you. You're the other famous guy. I got to add you on there.
The complete asshole dad. I am world famous by now. Are you kidding? Okay, so look, it's a great book. I'm very excited to be a part of it, and everybody should buy it or buy, you know, 20 of them. Let's talk about some other stuff. So you have been the president of the National At-Home Dads Network for 3 years. Tell us a little bit about the organization.
Yeah, our objective is to connect stay-at-home dads with other stay-at-home dads and to support them and educate them on ways to be better parents, better stay-at-home dads. We also advocate for stay-at-home dads. So earlier we were talking about the term Mr. Mom. Last year, we had a campaign to try to get rid of that term from our English language, and we actually succeeded. We were able to get enough people to vote Mr. Mom on the banned word list. Banned, so you're not allowed to use it anymore.
I'll keep that in mind, Mr. Mom.
Yeah. we try to connect stay-at-home dads with other stay-at-home dads locally in their local dad groups that we have all around the country. We also connect them online. We have a couple of different Facebook groups that we do. Of course, we got the Twitter going on with that. We connect with dads that way and with each other. And then we also have a convention every year. In September 19th and 20th this year will be the 19th annual At-Home Dad Convention. It'll be in Denver, Colorado, and dads come from all over the country, and even we allow a few Canadians to come in and get together.
Well,
and
keep that limited. Yeah, I mean,
we try.
Run out of control.
Yeah.
So you got a convention 19 years in a row. That's a pretty good streak right there.
Yeah, yeah. There's only like one other fatherhood event that's been going on long, and it's not nearly as awesome as ours.
I'm sure it's not. So how many people show up at one of the conventions, and what kind of things happen? I mean, I imagine there's a lot of, you know, ripping on women and trolling for chicks and stuff. So aside that.
No. There's absolutely none of that. Most of us are married, so, you know, we have to keep it under control a little bit.
That's right.
Because everybody has a freaking cell phone camera, you know. Might take a picture of you somewhere you wouldn't want to.
Dad paparazzi rolling.
Exactly. So, you know, the main thing that we really try to do is social networking, so really getting to know guys face-to-face. I mean, I can't tell you how many guys that I've met at these conventions, and they say to me, this is the first time I've ever met another stay-at-home dad, and I've been staying home for like 5 years. And it's amazing to me that you haven't ever connected with anybody else, you know, face-to-face. And so that's a really powerful thing for these guys to experience, because then they realize, hey, I'm not alone in my fears and my successes, my challenges. And here's a group of guys that understand me without me having to explain it to them like I do to everybody else I meet on the street. So we have a lot of opportunities for social networking, which basically means we drink some beer, okay?
that's the dad equivalent of social networking. It's getting
exactly. Some of us do. I don't, but some guys decide to go that way. Whatever works for them, as long as they're all connected.
Right.
And then we have some parenting. We actually have like serious stuff where we have parenting experts come in, give us some parenting tips. Last year we had this awesome pediatrician from Children's Hospital in Colorado. He came in with, he's got a book called No Regrets Parenting, which is a really awesome book. It kind of basically says, you know, here's how to, you know, not have any regrets about your parenting, and here's how to have fun with your kids. Because a lot of times, with all the day-to-day things you're doing with kids and family and everything, you kind of miss the fact that, hey, you know, they're only with you for 18 years, and let's have a little bit of fun along the way, because that's why you had them in the first place. So that was kind of his mission there. You know,
I'm surprised. Please don't ever use the word only in front of 18 years ever again. Al, please.
Exactly.
As long as God, 18 years of my life. Okay.
Well,
so,
only 18 years, so, you can control them. You can tell them what to do. After they're 18, you can't really tell them what to do. You're only an advisor then.
Trust me, I'm throwing in a towel and jumping off a cliff at the end of 18 years, so it's fine. So in addition to the conventions, I know that there's also local and regional groups for the network. Why don't you talk about them a little bit?
Yeah, we have dad groups in cities all over the country, and we have a few in Canada too. And they get together at least once a week to have a play group. So the dads and the kids get together and hang out for a couple hours at least once a week. Some of the bigger groups, like in New York and Chicago, they get together, you know, so they have play groups maybe 5 or 10 a week, you know, that they can go to. And
wow.
Then they, at least once a month, they go out for dad's night out without the kids. They'll have a few drinks, you know, share war stories. I'm sure they talk about their wives and, you know, God, I can't believe my wife doesn't know how to cook a pizza, or, you know, my wife wants me to, or that's a favorite one, or, you know, God, man, why don't my wife stop bugging me about the fact that I can't clean her house well enough, blah, blah, blah. So there's a lot of that going on, too. But
drinking seems to be a common theme here, right? Drinking, and which makes sense.
Well, that's what men do, right?
My life, too. It's, all right, I'm a working dad. But, no, I'm a working dad. Let's talk about that. So, look, it's an interesting conflict for a dad mm-hmm. to be a parent in this world, right? Because you have this whole network of stay-at-home dads, which are guys who are smart enough to find a woman who could support them, which I think is
mm-hmm.
awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have guys like myself. Now, I work, and I spend a lot of time with my kids, like I said, coaching and doing whatever. But yet sometimes when you get a stay-at-home dad together with a working dad, which I think is the correct verbiage for it, there's a bit of a conflict. Because you know, we're both being dads, at least certainly in my mind, I'm being just as much of a dad as he is. But yet, you know, the stay-at-home dads sometimes have a bit of a chip on their shoulder when dealing with a guy like me. So, what do you think about that conflict? Does it exist? Are there ways to overcome it? Where's it going in the future?
I think there's a little bit of conflict, but it's not like the mommy wars between stay-at-home moms and working moms. If you know anything about that, I recommend staying away from that entirely. And dads don't have that kind of a thing. But there are a few things that are a little bit different about our experience than you would deal with. But there's a lot of similarities, too. You know, I mean, one of the things is that you don't probably have a whole lot of opportunities to, like, you know, go to mommy and me classes in the middle of the afternoon or be at the library with your three-year-old in the middle of the afternoon and deal with some of those crazy stares and the stupid things that some of the other parents might say or feel about you, which is kind of a common experience for stay-at-home dads that working dads don't generally have. But, you know, otherwise, I mean, it's pretty much the same, and especially with involved dads. You know, I mean, you're an involved dad. That's awesome. We share a lot of things in common, and even our, you know, challenges that we have are pretty much in common. So, you know, we don't think we're any better than you. I don't think I'm any – well, I, as a parent, I'm probably –
You are definitely better than me and certainly better than my brother. But that's, again, another podcast.
Well, I have twice as many kids as you, so I, by default, am twice as good, right, as a parent?
Absolutely.
I don't think there's a lot – I mean – I don't think there's a lot of animosity between working dads and stay-at-home dads. And the main thing is you know, be an involved dad, and then we won't have a problem.
Right, absolutely. And, you know, like, and I definitely don't get the chance to do a lot of things you do, you know, the play dates and being with the kids during the day. But you don't get things that I get, like, you know, sexual harassment complaints and, you know, reports to HR. Those are the little joys of my life that you get to miss.
Well, I also don't get to talk to you. I don't get to talk to anybody that is semi-rational.
I can understand that, too. So, but is there a place in the National Stay-at-Home Dads Network for a guy like me? Can I show up at your convention in Denver in September and say, hey, I'm a dad, and I want to talk about stuff, and I'm here too. Is that okay?
Well, you're kind of a dick, so I don't know if you'd be allowed. But, I mean, other guys who,
I'm an asshole.
Know,
get it right. I'm an asshole.
I'm sorry. I got the wrong part of the anatomy. but, yeah, what our convention is open to dads who are primary caregivers. And, however you want to define that is fine with us. We don't actually, there's no like secret handshake you got to have to get in the door. If you showed up, you'd have to get a different name tag so we wouldn't know who you really were. And then you'd be all right. We'd let you in.
Well, look, I lie in all my books. So, I mean, lying at the convention won't be a real problem for me either.
Exactly.
Let's talk about you. Let's talk about the point of view of a stay-at-home dad. I don't, I'm trying to think. I don't think I know a single stay-at-home dad. Not a guy that I, like, actually spend time with. So tell me how it happened. How did you decide? Because obviously society tells you that's not where you're supposed to go. So how did you make the decision to go in that direction back whenever you did make that decision?
Yeah, my case is very similar to most of the stay-at-home dads out there. If you want to look at research, the best research says about 70% of dads choose to be stay-at-home dads, and the other 30%, maybe lost their job, and that's the reason why they're staying at home. And there's a myth out there. Most people think, oh, you lost your job, and so this is the alternative opportunity for you to stay home until you find another job. That's bull. That's not what I do. We had an opportunity where at the time, right when our daughter was born, both of my wife and I were making roughly the same amount of money, and we kind of looked at each other and said, hey, if one of us gets promoted, I think we can manage, on one income. And, she's the one who got promoted. So I got to stay home with our daughter. And it was the fact that we could survive on one income and the fact that we just had a value system where we figured it was best if one of us was home with the child than somebody else. We figured if somebody was going to screw up the kid, it might as well be us. So that was kind of how we came to that decision.
So contrary to popular belief, it wasn't just that you wanted to pick up chicks. That wasn't
it. No. I got one, and she's pretty hot. So.
Okay, good enough. So now you have four kids now, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So how difficult is it? How hard is it go to a play gym, right, and to be the only guy in the place or one of two guys in the place? I mean, what tweaks you? What triggers you? Is it embarrassing or is it empowering or how does it feel?
Well, the first step is I'm doing it for my kids. So, they need to get out of the house and I need them to get out of the house. So, that was the first key thing that I went to those kinds of events with the kids. And, it's tough because a lot of the moms are a little leery of you. They don't know why you're there. Why is this dad here? When I've always seen all these moms here before, that kind of thing. So that is tough to take, it took me a long time to feel comfortable in those kinds of situations. And I don't know exactly where you have your job at, but if you worked at a place where it was mostly women, it just feels it's a little awkward, being there. And that's kind of the way it was.
Me,
it's kind of like going to a job.
For me, just being around people is awkward, period. So I completely relate to everything you're saying.
So, in a work situation, it's not like you're doing some girly job or whatever that would be, the perception out there is that this is the woman's domain, this is mom's domain, and then there's this dad here, and so they don't know what to do with me, Eventually, I felt more confident with myself, and that was a huge thing. And most of that came from meeting other stay-at-home dads. Meeting them made me feel like I wasn't a freak. And then we kind of all bonded over our shared experiences, and that made me feel a lot better about myself. And therefore, when I met other moms, I wasn't nearly as, concerned about what they thought of me or anything. And once you get to talk to people, it doesn't matter whether you're male, female, gargoyle, whatever you are, you have a kid and you are a parent, and all of us have to deal with poop and puke and doctors and, all these things. So, we have a very common shared experience. And as a stay-at-home parent and meeting other stay-at-home parents, if they're moms, for example, they have to deal with spouses who, don't like that they don't fold the laundry right or, who schedule a business dinner at your house at the last minute, So we have all these things, the shared experiences.
And I would imagine as time goes on, too, like maybe initially it's difficult to meet the other moms in the playgroup or whatever, but when they see that you're a parent just like them, and like you said, when you have that confidence that what you're doing is the right thing for you and your family, I just kind of assume that after a while it goes away and they become your friends just like anybody else, right?
Yeah, I mean, it really worked for me that way. But I'll tell you what, it took me 5 years to get to that point, I think. About 5 years in, I really started to feel more comfortable with myself and with the other moms. And I have a lot of friends that are moms, so we're all good now.
And I guess the even better part about being friends with moms is that they all start to hit on you, correct?
Well, most of the time, no, but as you mentioned that, there has been a couple of unusual instances lately, and I don't know what is going on in the water. Maybe it's because we haven't seen spring in like 4 months in Chicago, but yeah, I have had a few experiences.
Well, don't leave us hanging, Al. This is what we've been waiting for the whole 35 minutes. Come on, give us the dirt.
All right, so a couple months ago, I was just picking up my kids from school, and another mom was there that I know, and she said, "Hi, Al," and she put her hand on my back, like on the back of my shoulder blade, and rubbed it for like 3 seconds, which was about 2.5 seconds longer than I thought was necessary. And I was like, that was
the greatest 2.5 seconds of your life, too, I'm sure.
Well, if my wife is listening, no, that was the most awkward. But if she's not listening, yeah, that was pretty awesome.
Right. Go ahead.
But I was like, wow. Well, and then she did it twice. You know, when I went to go in the school and I was coming out, you know, I'm like, wow, that's a little awkward.
You have her number for me?
I'll email it to you.
Okay.
Then you have to come to Chicago and like deal with our weather. So that may not be.
If that's the case, I'll find my own girl to give me 2.5 seconds worth. It's been a pleasure.
Well, then the most recent one, last weekend, my wife and I went to a Valentine's dance at church, and this couple was sitting next to us, and the woman had definitely had a few belts before she got there. Because while they were, it's a Catholic church and they serve alcohol, but there's no way she got that lit that fast. She was really having a good time, and she was
kind of girl.
Yeah, she was like, she's a mama for kids, and she's talking to me, and she's hanging on me. My wife is sitting right there, and you know, the funniest thing was we get up in line to get to the buffet line, you know, to get our dinner, and this woman walks up from behind me, and she just starts scratching my back. You know, like give me this really awesome back scratch for like a minute. And then my wife is like looking at me and I'm like, what do I do, you know? And the lady, she went somewhere else after that. And my wife just started laughing because it was just so ridiculous, you know. But, yeah, there's I don't know what it is all of a sudden. I think it's cabin fever for everybody here. But I don't know. I guess I'm becoming a chick maggot all of a sudden.
Well, Al, if I wasn't jealous enough that you've got a woman taking care of you, I now have to hear about all your parade of bitches coming after you. So I'm going to call this a day because I can't take it anymore. I've been Dan Indante, and you can find me at danindante.com. The book, The Complete Asshole Dad, is available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever fine offensive books are sold. Al, tell them where they can find you.
Well, the National At Home Dad Network is simply at athomedad.org, and our book project is Dad's Behaving Dadly. It's simply Dad's Behaving Dadly, the dadly.com. You can submit your story up until March 31st of 2014, and we will be publishing the book right around Father's Day. So you can go to that website around Father's Day and buy our book, and so that Dan's got a couple of extra bucks in his pocket.
And that's all that really matters. All right, Al, thanks so much for joining me today. It was a lot of fun, and that's our show.
Great, thanks.
One is the loneliest number that you'll ever do. Two can be as bad as one. It's the loneliest number since the number one. No is the saddest experience you'll ever know. Yes, it's the saddest experience. divided by two. One